True Grit is now the number one film at the box office. It's directed by the Coen brothers and based on the Charles Portis novel, which was also one of my most successful gifts over the holiday. I gave it to my sister's girls, but my sister ended up reading it cover to cover. In the movie version, newcomer Hailee Steinfeld plays 14-year-old Maddie Ross, who hires the drunken U.S. Marshal Rooster Cogburn, played by Jeff Bridges, to find the man who killed her father. Maddie wants to go with Rooster, which isn't what he had in mind.
You are not going. That is no part of it.
You have misjudged me if you think I'm silly enough to give you $50 and watch you simply write off.
I'm a bonded U.S. Marshal.
That weighs but little with me. I will see the thing done.
This is the second film version of True Grit, the first starred John Wayne in 1969. And it got us to thinking, what other books have made good movies? You sent some terrific suggestions to HereAndNow.org. Jamie favored Michael Winterbottom's Tristram Shandy. John Kane liked Bernardo Bertolucci's adaptation of The Conformist by Alberto Moravia, as well as Nicholas Roeg's version of Daphne du Maurier's Don't Look Now. Get out the raisinets, John says. Well, Boston Globe film critic Ty Burr is here. First of all, Ty, your review of our listener suggestions.
I think they're pretty fantastic. They're broad-ranging, especially like the pick of Tristram Shandy, which is a novel you think would be impossible to adapt with all sorts of things happening in a plot that never actually happens. And yet Michael Winterbottom takes the spirit of that novel and adapts it into a movie that's a great lark.
You say books into films fall into categories: good, bad, and problematic.
Yes. To my mind, there are three things that filmmakers have to pay attention to when they're adapting a book. The events of the book, the plot, the casting, that's absolutely crucial. Getting the right face and the right personality.
Because we have an image in our head.
Absolutely. And the third aspect, and really the most important one, is getting the author's tone onto film. That's what makes Tristram Shandy so good, is that it gets that very playful deconstructionist tone onto film.
Well, what about the Coen brothers' True Grit? They've said this was their favorite book when they were kids, and we just heard the language, this sort of very quaint, formal language that the young girl used. We hear that was true to the time. Was it true to the book?
If you read the book, and you should read the book, it's a quick read. You can get it out of the library and read it in 2 days. It's all about the formality of that language as sort of a bulwark against the chaos of frontier existence. And the Coens fell in love with that language, which is not surprising given their other films. And that's what this film is about. It's about the way these people speak and try to communicate with each other in a very harsh environment.
Yeah. Well, back to our listener suggestions. Paul Hornick picked Coppola as the Godfather, based, of course, on Mario Puzo's book.
I kind of agree with that. Everybody knows that the book is not one of the greatest books of all time. It's a good paperback pulp, better than average. But, of course, Coppola did something magisterial with it and expanded it to this great commentary on the American way and the classic immigrant striving story. That is a classic example of the art of cinema all falling into place. And, you know, ironically, of course, when they were making it, everybody thought it was going to be a complete turkey.
And the art of cinema being better than the book. But let's take a look at the opposite. You're not a fan of the Scarlet Letter film with Demi Moore.
Do you know anyone who is?
Let's listen to this scene where Hester Prynne first meets the Reverend Dimmesdale, who, of course, in the book is her lover and the father of her child, which is why she had to wear the letter A. He's helping her get her carriage out of the mud.
I'm afraid you're in too deep. She'll not make it. Now let me try this.
Oh, I do hope you can get it free. I'm already late for the service, and as it is, everyone's talking about me.
To my mind, this is the classic case of striking out three times on plot, casting, and tone. When you think Hester Prynne, you do not think Demi Moore. She's a 20th century personality. Tone? Well, they took a smart, controlled moral tale and turned it into a heaving romantic melodrama. And as far as plot, they just change things willy-nilly.
But other than that...
Yeah, other than that, it's The Scarlet Letter.
Not by Nathaniel Hawthorne. How about a modern version? The 1999 film Fight Club, directed by David Fincher, based on the Chuck Palahniuk novel, starred Edward Norton and Brad Pitt. And, of course, these lines from Brad Pitt have become iconic.
The first rule of Fight Club is, you do not talk about Fight Club. The second rule of Fight Club is, you do not talk about Fight Club.
This, I think, is actually a very, very successful filming of a hard-to-film novel. I mean, this is sort of a postmodern, you know, guy novel. And David Fincher, the director, really figures out how to turn it into a visual experience. He doesn't stay entirely true to the book, but he casts correctly. And this is one of these novels. It reminded me a little bit of American Psycho, which I also thought made a successful film, in that there's certain head games being played with the reader in the book and the viewer in the theater. And I think in both the cases of those movies, they keep that contract, which is really important.
Yeah. You mentioned the problematic adaptations. You suggest 1961's Breakfast at Tiffany's, directed by the late Blake Edwards, we just lost him, based on the novella by Truman Capote, starring Audrey Hepburn as Holly Golightly. And, of course, we all remember her singing the Johnny Mercer, Henry Mancini classic, Moon River. Now, what's the problem with that, Ty?
Oh, I'm going to sound like just a mean, grumpy old man.
Okay.
Remember what I was saying about casting? This is Audrey Hepburn's iconic role. Everybody loves her. Everybody loves the dress. Everybody loves the cat.
Yeah.
I love it. I'm not saying anything bad about Audrey Hepburn. I think she's wonderful in the movie. This is not Truman Capote's Holly Golightly.
Yeah.
What Edwards does, he softens the harshness of what Truman Capote was writing about in this novella, which is, you know, that basically Holly Golightly is a prostitute. She's a call girl. And you just don't buy Audrey Hepburn as a prostitute.
No. Okay. We mentioned Truman Capote. The character Dil Harris in Harper Lee's Incredible to Kill a Mockingbird was based on Capote. Of course, there was the film adaptation. Your thoughts on this adaptation?
Oh, to my mind, To Kill a Mockingbird is the gold standard of book-to-movie adaptations. It gets the tone. It gets the casting. I mean, Gregory Peck is the dad we all want to have. Mm-hmm. And then all the smaller roles, down to young Robert Duvall as Boo Radley. Mm-hmm. It's as close to sort of photocopying the book, yet doing right by the inner tone and the outer message and the behavior of the characters and the time and place. It's just one of those examples where everything fell together.
Directed by Robert Mulligan. You mentioned Gregory Peck as Atticus Finch, Mary Badham as Scout. Let's listen to the scene where she's complaining about her teacher after the first day of school.
Maybe she's just nervous after all. It's her first day, too, teaching school and being new here.
Oh, Atticus.
Now, wait a minute. You just learn a single trick, Scout. You get along a lot better with all kinds of folks. You never really understand a person until you consider things from his point of view.
Sir?
Till you climb inside of his skin, walk around in it.
A scene from To Kill a Mockingbird. One last mention, our former intern Angela Kim, now on Marketplace, tweeted us that her favorite is a modern retelling of a Jane Austen novel. Her favorite film is Clueless, of course, from the Jane Austen novel Emma. You have to have a whole separate category, though, don't you, for films from Jane Austen novels?
Well, and also films that have been modernized from, you know, classic text. But I agree, you know, at this point, Jane Austen is her own movie genre.
And do you have a favorite?
It might be heresy to all the Colin Firth fans out there, and I think that version of Pride and Prejudice is quite good. I am a fan of the more recent Keira Knightley Pride and Prejudice, which may not be true to Austen. Here's a case where the tone is slightly more updated. It's not, you know, 1820s England. It's more romanticized, but I think it's a terrifically made film and true in spirit, if not in tone.
Boston Globe film critic Ty Burr, with his favorite book-to-film adaptations. We'll have the whole list along with yours at hereandnow.org. And Ty, thank you as always.
Thank you, Robin.